going back where we were last week, kind of move through it. We will do some review of it because I think it is an important section as we go through it. But when we look at things in life, life does change. Things change. Things constantly change. And I'm sure we all in our lifetimes, the older you get especially, life changes and you can look back at things changing. Well, things always are changing. And the same is true in the Word of God. Things changed. God doesn't do the same thing, doesn't do the same thing the same way all the time. Things do change. Now, one time I knew a lady who said that she was a whole Bible person. And so she was a whole Bible person. You people, you break the Bible up. But she was a whole Bible person from Genesis to Revelation. Well, if you're a whole Bible person, I believe the whole Bible. I just don't believe that it's all there for us to practice. Some of the things you can't, some of the things aren't there to be practiced, and they weren't given to us to practice. And so, but she was a whole Bible person. Well, I believe the whole Bible. I just don't believe that we practice it all. If it's written to us, we do. If it isn't, we don't. And if it's something that applies to us, we do. But if it doesn't, we don't. But things do constantly change. And things have been changing. God doesn't have the same rules for everybody. And so changes have taken place down since the beginning of the dispensations. Beginning from creation, you had the beginning of the first dispensation. But every dispensation, God changes the household. And so the household changes. And ultimately, it got down to where it was, you ended up ultimately with two races, Jews and Gentiles, once Abraham's seed was selected, and you came down to the Mosaic Law, which was a legal dispensation. So with the legal dispensation, they had a rule, and the rules changed from household to household. And so they were constantly, God changed things as time went on. And so the rules changed from what they had been before to law. And now it was law, and the Jews, their rule was law. And so the rules for the household of Jews was law, and it was for a long time. But with the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, there was a change in dispensations. With the work of Christ completed, and now you have another dispensation, and that's a dispensation that we live under. And what a dispensation involved, it was you had a household, you had rules for the household, for that household, and you had a steward who was in charge of the dispensation who dispensed the master's goods or the rules. And so that's what a dispensation involved. And so we went through some of those things last week dealing with the dispensation. But we come to the dispensation of the grace from God. And so on the one hand, the dispensation of law, the legal dispensation, they had a rule. Their rule was law. But on the other hand, when we come to grace, the one rule for those in the dispensation of grace is grace. And so there's no law. No law, grace. And so we're not under rules. We don't go back to live under the Old Testament. We don't try to apply those things to ourselves that we're not there. We have something that's better. And so things have changed. And so there's a change in dispensations. There's a change in what God, how he relates to people. And what he expects from people, and that these changes have taken place since the beginning of time, since the creation of man. And so you've had changes. Well, we do have a lot of changes, and the rules have changed. And so when we come to this dispensation, though, as we noted, we'll look at it again, this dispensation was not something that was known in the Old Testament. And so in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, under the law, what did they do? Well, they were under law. And that was what they, and who was under law? God didn't care about the Gentiles, but it was the Jews. They were the household. The Jews that were in the household, the Jews were responsible to keep the law. And so God had the penalties. God had penalties for them, but it was under the law. This was the Jews, but the household changed when the Holy Spirit came. Now that change wasn't quite made known. It wasn't made known right away. They saw changes and they knew there were changes, but this was something that was unique. The dispensation was something that would be made known as time went on. And so, but it began with the coming, that began with the completion of Christ's work and then the coming of the Holy Spirit. We can say that the law, Christ ended the law though. He fulfilled it, so there was no more law to be fulfilled. So he didn't put that requirement on mankind. You don't have to, you can't do something that was already done. It was accomplished, and so he fulfilled it. And so that takes us back to the fact that the dispensation, it was a mystery. It wasn't something that was revealed in the Old Testament. And this dispensation of the grace from God, it was a unique dispensation in that it contained mysteries also. And so there are mysteries within the mystery dispensation. And so you do have some mysteries, a number of mysteries. Now, Paul does relate to mysteries. So we're going to keep ourselves into the context where we are and where we were last week. And we're going to pick up and we're going to review some of this as we go into it and move on into the rest of the chapter. Not the rest of the chapter. We won't ever get there. But I didn't get there last week anyway, down to through verse 13 though. And as we looked at this last week, I pointed out that this was a unique syntactical arrangement that Paul wrote here as he writes. But when Paul wrote, he wrote a series of subordinate clauses. The first verse began with a particular phrase, used the word grace. It is a form of the word grace, but in the accusative case, it has the idea in some places, and it does take on the concept, almost an adverbial, but he says, on account of this, because of this, it can take on a causal idea. It's not real frequent, but we do see it, and we do have it twice in this chapter. And so it is to talk Corinth. It says, on account of this thing, on account of what? Well, on account of this goes back to what he had said in chapter 2, which did deal with God's dealings with Jews and Gentiles and the building up of the body of Christ into one temple. And so it goes on, you go back into the previous context. We won't go back to go through it all, except we'll pick out a point here as we come into it, as we get into our study though. But this is, you have about 8 subordinate clauses. You don't come to an actual full stop until you get down to verse 7. And there we do have a verb that is an independent verb, introducing an independent clause. And so this is a little bit of grammar, but it is kind of an interesting thing. And it is something, it's a interesting to try to diagram some of Paul's. He has several long, long sentences, and it was good Greek, not good English, but it was good Greek. And so you have a lot of this. So it's kind of an interesting way that he does this. But we'll come back and look into these things as we do, and want to look again, just consider that this dispensation of the grace from God, this is where Paul identifies it by name. Otherwise, you see the change in the household. You can see God dealing with different peoples. You can see where God gave different rules. Sometimes the rules were pretty simple in the first dispensation. The dispensation of innocence, it was very simple. How big was the human race? Two people. And the one rule was, thou shalt not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One rule. And so it was one simple rule. And so that's where it was, but it changed after the fall. And so you move on, but as we come down to this dispensation of the grace from God. Now it's made up of what? Jew and Gentile. And that's what we want to review. We looked at it last week. I kind of moved through it quickly. We do come to Na'e'o, as we pointed out last time, and we do come to it when we get into verse 4. Make sure I get the right verse in my head. Yeah. But anyway, it is, we come to it with Na'e'o, our verb that we're looking at. But we'll pick that up as we get there. Well, let's go ahead and we'll get started. Father, we're thankful again for your word, for the opportunity to come together, for those who are online, those who are here. We're thankful that it is your word and that we can depend upon it, that it is true, and that we can, again, as we study it, we can come to know those things that you just want us to know. But not to practice, but also as we move into those things that are to us and for us, that we can live by those things, by the Holy Spirit, to bring glory to you. And so we're thankful for the privilege of being your children, being placed as your mature sons in Christ, and for the position that we share together. We're thankful for those things this morning. And again, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, who can and will guide our thoughts in studying your word, and that he does is the one who turns the light on so that we can understand these things, and we do really can come to a comprehension. So again, let we be in tune to him as we move on. Amen. Now, in chapter 3, I said, on account of this, for this cause, it translated, but on account of this, what is this? Well, as I just said, it goes back into the previous context, but I just want to remind us what Paul said here. He says, I, Paul. And so he makes it clear who he is, but he says, I, Paul, the, what does he say? He's a slave. He's a servant. He's not a servant. I can't say what I'm trying to say. We're just, he's a prisoner there. And he's a prisoner. He's a despot, but he's a prisoner. But he's a prisoner. Where is he a prisoner? Well, he's in Rome. And so he's a Roman prisoner. But who does he, who's he a prisoner to release? He's a prisoner belonging to, and take it as a possessive, the next word, belonging to Jesus Christ. And so he is a prisoner belonging to Christ. And so he is, but he is there, and he says, in behalf of you Gentiles. And so, this church in Ephesus, we mentioned this in introduction last week, went back through a little of the introductory material in the book of Acts to Ephesus. But as we look at it, this was a Gentile city. It was a great metropolis. It was one of the key cities in that day. And so it was a great city, but it was a Gentile city. And there was a synagogue there. There were some Jews who were saved out from the synagogue that Paul ministered to, and as he passed through, and so he did, he had led some to Christ there, but then as he comes, and so he had spent some time with them now, and so they were, and but then he did go back, and so he passed through going to a feast, comes back, settles down, says he spent 3 years there in Acts 20, he tells him how he spent 3 years there ministering night and day with tears. And so he did ministry, described addressing the elders as they met in Miletus with him, as he called for them to come there. And he gave them some things to think about, some advice, some things they needed to do. But they needed to, as the elders, they needed to keep oversee the flock. They needed to shepherd the flock. They needed to do what a pastor should do. He's a pastor, he's a shepherd, but he should shepherd the flock, and that's the word feed there, back in Acts 20. But anyway, I'm not going back there all the way, but he says, in behalf of you Gentiles. And so he is addressing Gentiles here. Now you notice there is not a period at the end there, and there is no verb. And so all he says, he identifies himself, it's a verb, no verb, but he all of a sudden veers off, and we pointed this out last week. He veered off. He veered away by the Holy Spirit, though. he was writing, he was being born along by the Holy Spirit. So as he was veered off of where he was going, he started with this little phrase in the Greek, "tuta karin." And so it's like he was starting to write a communication to the Father for these saints. Go down to verse 14, starts off with the same thing. Says in the English, for this cause, on account of this, because of this. And so you have the exact same phrase. He picks up there where he kind of left off, where he veered off. So the Holy Spirit nudged him there as he was starting this, and he will come back to it. But then as he moved on here in verse 2, he's thinking back to what was he talking about? Well, he was talking about something about Jews and Gentiles being no longer two, but how Christ created out from two, Jew and Gentile. Now he created something in himself, which was one new man. And so he created something. So he goes back to think about this, and that's a change. That was a change. And as we started off with changes, things changing, well, this was a change. Now Jew and Gentile is no longer just Jews. And you can go back earlier in chapter 3, and he does go through in chapter 2, but you can go back in chapter 2 and see that the Gentiles, they didn't have anything to do with what God had provided for the Jews. And you can pick that up when you get into verse 11 and following. But before he got there, he spoke of you were created, you were God's poema, God's, the result of God's making, God's doing. And he says that writing to believers as a whole. And so a Jew and Gentile, but you were created in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you were created for a purpose. You were created unto good works. These were good works, not just doing good works that you come up with, but these were good works that God prepared, literally prepared beforehand, that we should walk or order our lives in these good works. And so that, and then he describes where the Gentiles were, but being far off, now they've been made near. And so now they are near. How are they near to God? They're near to God in Christ. And so Christ is resurrected. He's been glorified, risen. Not only risen, but he's ascended up to the Father's right hand, and there he's seated today, and that's where we are in him. And so this is just going back a little bit and giving a little bit more background than I need to at the moment, I guess. So I'm going to move on, and we need to look at verse 2 again. This is where we're just going to emphasize again. Now, they've heard of this thing, and so it begins, and if you read it in the English, it says, if you have heard. Well, some say, well, Paul didn't write this because he's heard this. He knows about this, that they've heard this. Somebody told him that they've heard of this. No, how does Paul know that they've heard it? Well, he spent 3 years there, and he did speak of things. He did speak of the new man. And so we'll touch back there in a moment. But anyway, he says, since indeed. And so it is a first-class condition, and he has a little particle there with it that says, since indeed. And so they have, since indeed you have heard of something, but what did they hear of? The dispensation of the grace from God. And so that is this dispensation. And so we won't define a dispensation again. We mentioned it, but anyway, this is the dispensing of grace as the rule for this household of those who are grace believers. And so it is written to Christians. And, but notice the next thing that he says here. He says that the dispensation of the grace from God, and literally just says the one having been given to who? To me. And so did me. It was given to him. It was flat out given. It had been given to him. And so it's something given to Paul. I like giving a gift to him, but he received this, and he received it. And he's going to speak of this, but it says in the AV to you word, but he did it. You could say because of you or with reference to you would be ways you could translate the end of the verse there. I don't think he was writing it to them. It wasn't given to Paul to them, but it was something because of them, because of grace believers. Paul was the, was given this dispensation of the grace from God, which he was to dispense to the household. And so the household, we'll see, relates to the gospel. Ultimately, you'll mention it down in the context. But he goes on to continue on, and he says, and what was this, that was to be dispensed with reference to them was that by a revelation. Now, I'm going to turn this around a little bit in the translation. They did follow the Greek order somewhat, but the subject of the verb in this clause, is, goes down to the mystery. And so the mystery is articular. So it's a specific mystery, that was made known, and that, that Paul had, but he said, that, but he says that the mystery, the specific mystery was made known. Somebody else made it known to him. He said it was made known unto me, by revelation. And so according to the standard of revelation, it came from revelation. So it was revealed to Paul. Paul doesn't say who the passage was involved in the passage here, who it was who made this known to him. But we do see a distinction as we go on down, that he says it was something made known to him by revelation. So who revealed it to him? But Paul had some things that were specifically revealed to him. When he was out in the wilderness right after he was saved, he said he spent 3 years out in the wilderness, and he was taught by the Lord himself. And so the Lord taught him. He had 3 years. And that's why we had 3 years of seminary, because that's how long Paul was out in the wilderness, with being taught by the Lord, his seminary training. But anyway, he taught him. And he was taught. Now, I would say this is a lot like he received from the Lord, the specifics in the Lordian table in 1 Corinthians 11. But as we move through here, he says it was something made known to him. Now, I'm going to, but it's a mystery that he said, as I wrote before. And so he wrote it before, he said. And so he had written it before in a few words, just in brief. So he gave them a little bit of a brief on this mystery of concerning the dispensation of the grace from God. Now, when he wrote about this, we can think back, what did he write? Well, just a little bit ago, this is the first epistle that he wrote to the Ephesians. And so as he writes, he includes things here that relate to of the church, though, and so he's writing about things that relate to believers, and so he didn't write it in some other letter to them, but he said he wrote it to them in a just briefly, and it's something that would, I think, it would take you right back into the context. We can see that when we get to verse 4, he says, whereby, and so again, this is another clause, and he says, it kind of gives a purpose here in verse 4 when he says, facing that which, kind of gives the purpose here, though, and I'm going to take the reading here. It's going to be a temporal participle because it's going to say while you read or when you read. When reading, it's a present participle, but he says, while reading, you might be able, is the verb, and it's dunamai, and so that you might be able to do something. And this is where we came to know that you might come to be able, that you might be able to what? To really sit down and consider very carefully the facts. Now they have the facts, and the facts relate back to this mystery, to the mystery, which relates to the mystery and the dispensation of grace. And so you have, and it does relate to something specific, though, because he's going to identify it as we continue to the end of the verse. And so that they might do this so that they can arrive at a conclusion whereby they can comprehend what the facts that he's speaking of here. But the facts that he wants them to really come to comprehend is not the knowledge. The word knowledge here is sunnii, which is to understand. Again, it's a noun form of it, but comprehend. We'll just shorten it down that you might comprehend my understanding. And so it's his understanding of some specific things. The facts that they consider, they would come to the place where they can come to what Paul understands. It was something that Paul received by revelation. I believe he received it from Christ. But he goes on to say that in my understanding in the mystery, and you have the Christ. And so it's a genitive. I'd say the mystery concerning the Christ. And so it is, it does have the article. I don't think we need to go back and look at 1 Corinthians 12:12, where we do find a definition of the Christ. But he says there that just as the body, the physical body, he compares it to the body of Christ. But just as the physical body is many members, yet one body, and though being one body, it's many members. I think it turned it around there. But he says, so also, in the like manner, is the so also in the same way, is verbless clause, is the Christ. And so he defines the Christ. The Christ is one body, many members. And so it's many members, one body. That is the Christ. And so he says, this is a mystery that concerning the Christ. And so what he's speaking about is the body of Christ. It's that the body and the body of Christ, it's one body, but it's the head, which is Christ, and the members of the body being joined together in the way that we were joined. We know Chris has gone through this. We've gone through this in for a long time past the idea of 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. By one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. We were immersed into Christ. Doesn't matter what we were, anything about us, that there's a unity there. And so God doesn't see distinctions between race or social status or anything else. And Galatians, not even male and female. It doesn't matter what race you are over in Colossians 3. But you have this, you were immersed into one body. And so this is what he speaks about when he speaks of the mystery of concerning the Christ. Well, the thing, this was, and he's going to speak of the mystery again. I'm almost going through this in too much detail this time again. But anyway, we'll move over to look at 2:15. And so he says, having abolished, rendered inoperative, put out of business by his flesh, the enmity, the hatred, even the law of commandments, in ordinances. And this goes back to the middle wall or the partition, the fence between Jew and Gentile. This is what the law was. But he goes on to say, in order that he might create, and so it's a purpose clause here, in order that he might create, not make. And when you've changed this, you should have changed it in your mind, if not in your Bible anyway, but it should be, just remember, to create, not to make, but to create in himself from two. And so here's where we come from two, one new man. One new man, one new quality of man, so making peace. And so he did make peace where there had been enmity, hatred between Jews and Gentiles. He broke it all down as he fulfilled the law, and there was no law. But now it's one new man. What is the one new man? Well, the new man, it does relate to the unity, and he speaks here of the Christ. But it is the Christ, it is the new man. And so we're created into him as one new man. And in him, we're in the body of Christ. And so we're one body. That's one new man. We're part of the new man. And you can see that we looked at it over in 4:23 and 24, and opposed to the old man in verse 22. But anyway, we are part of the new man, and we need to put the new man on, which was created in righteousness and true holiness. So you should put on the new man, live in the realm of your position. In other words, you put on the new man. What do you see if you put something on? Well, you see what you got on. But what you should see is not what's underneath. You see what's put on. So you should see the new man, should see the character of Christ as you put on Christ. And that's something we're being transformed into the same image. Ultimately, in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, but this is all, again, by the Holy Spirit that you do these things, but you put it on. But he says here, this is what has taken place now. And so this is the mystery concerning the Christ that he speaks of. And he goes on to define or describe a mystery. It's something that wasn't known in ages past. It wasn't made known in ages. You could say in generations past, generations could be even races back when it was Jew and Gentile. And God's mind, now we're part of a new race, the Church of God. But it takes you back into the past and all the generations. It wasn't made known to the sons of God as now it is revealed. But notice how it was revealed to his holy apostles, even prophets. And the way that it was done was out from the Spirit is the preposition. The Holy Spirit was the source to the holy prophets, even the holy apostles, even prophets. And so the prophets and the apostles, prophets, did they come to know of this mystery? It was revealed by the Holy Spirit. But Paul says it was given to me, given directly to me, wasn't something that was revealed to him. It was something that he did receive by revelation, but it wasn't, he uses a different way of describing it. It was revealed to the apostles and the prophets, and it was out from the Holy Spirit. But Paul, he doesn't say it was given to him and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And so I think he leaves that out because he was taught this. This was given to him. And so it was directly given to him, not to the apostles and not to the prophets. But as you drop down in the context, we're going to see this same thing again. And he does speak about it being given to him. Later on here, we'll come down to it. But he mentions the mystery again and the dispensation in verse 9. But it's in verse 8 that he says, the one having been given to me. And so again, grace was given to Paul, but it was a dispensation of the grace from God that was directly given to Paul. And he says to me, not to the holy apostles, not to the other apostles and even prophets. And I think that they're included by the Granville Sharp's rule, back then the information was given to them, but Paul received it directly. And so it was something given to him. Wanted to spend just a moment on that. So it was given to Paul. So I want to just, let's just take a real quick look at some things here real quickly with Paul. It was given to Paul. Okay, so Paul, we say, is the steward of the dispensation of grace. And so as we come back, Paul ministered his ministry. He's going to go on and describe it, but he says here, we'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 17, and there we do find that Paul could do this, it says, willingly. It's not fellow. It isn't fellow, but it's a word that only occurs a couple of times, and it does have the idea to do something by your free will, something you do by your will, and it's not because you're coerced or forced to do it. And so there's no forcing here to Paul. But Paul says, and he's speaking of the gospel, and that is gospelizing the gospel. Gospelizing, that was what he was emphasizing, the verbal form of gospel there, his preach. But in verse 17, he says, and I'm going to do it this way, assuming for the sake of argument, I do this thing willingly, that is, if I do it by my own free will, not being forced to do it, he says, I have a reward. But on the other side of it, if, and the implication is if he should happen to do this and he have an alpha privative, making it a negative of the same form of willing, if he does it unwillingly, that is because he's forced to do it. Well, he says a dispensation is committed, it's entrusted unto me, a verbal form of pistuo, to believe, but it's used in some contexts here, it's entrusted unto me. And so he's been given a dispensation, so he has to minister the gospel. And he's going to do it, whether if he does it, he can get a reward if he does it willingly, but if he doesn't, well, he's got a dispensation, he better do it. And he's not concerned about the Corinthians judging him, or by the man's day, he says in the next verse, but he goes on to speak of the fact that he doesn't even judge himself. But he has been faithful. He has been dispensing by his free will. Well, he's not concerned about what they say. And of that, he does that over in 1 Corinthians 4. I've slipped that in before in my mind where it wasn't. But anyway, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. As he says, let a man, in the same manner, let him give an account, let him count us, logizomai, but let him count us as the ministers, the under-rowers of Christ, and stewards. And so you have the word stewards. He's an oikonomos in the plural here, but he says, let him count us to be this. And he says, notice what he goes on to say, stewards of the mysteries of God. And so there's more than one mystery in the mysteries of God. Paul was a steward of the mysteries of God. He was the one who wrote mysteries. And so he was faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, that he doesn't care if they judge him or not. He doesn't even judge himself, but he has been faithful as a minister, as a steward. He's been a faithful steward, but he's been the one who's dispensed mysteries to them. And so he is a steward, though, and he's a steward of this dispensation of the grace from God. Now, we know that when he uses the plural there, he's not, and I've heard this used of pastors, that pastors are stewards. You're to be a good steward, you're to be faithful. Well, that's true, you should be faithful, but it's not that you are a steward, and you're not a steward of the mysteries. You're not one who dispenses mysteries. And so it's not of all Christians, nor is it used of pastors here, but it is used of Paul, because Paul was the one who wrote of the mysteries. Now, John did later on. John writes mysteries in the book of Revelation, but he says in chapter 2 and verse 7, speaking of the wisdom of God, but he says, but we, and he's using that first person, it's just a polite way of speaking, but it's as he uses the plural instead of saying I. He could use I sometimes, but he also sometimes said we speak. And so he's the one that's speaking the wisdom of God, not in a mystery, but by a mystery. Even the hidden, and it implied there the wisdom from God. And so this was something that went back. It was marked off before the ages. And that's when it says world. Before the world's unto the ages, unto our glory. But anyway, he was the dispenser of wisdoms. He was of mysteries. He wrote mysteries. He was the one, Sosthenes, who is included at the beginning of the book, did not write of mysteries. He wasn't the one who revealed mysteries, but Paul was. But Paul was the steward. It was given to him. The dispensation was given to him. So he was the one who dispensed the rules and managed the dispensation, the household. He was the one who did this. And so he was in charge of that. But we move on and he tells us what he did, that the Gentiles in Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. And I'm going to put a co before all of these. They were co-heirs, just back in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. You're heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. but it deals with those who are grace believers. And so this, but this includes Gentiles. Now, who are they co with? Well, co with Christ, with God, with Jews, with all who are believers. And so that the Gentiles, they're joined, having been created out from two in Christ into one new man. As part of the new man, they're also co-heirs and co-body, the same body. Which body? Well, Jew and Gentile alike. With Christ as the head, we're part of the body of Christ. And so there's a co-body. And then he goes, and all of these are soon prepositions, and co-partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. And so it goes back. It all comes through the gospel that you, these changes have taken place. Used to be there was only Jew. God only dealt with the Jews, but now he's dealing with both Jew and Gentile in one body. And then Paul, I need to keep moving, whereof he says, concerning which I and my part, no, it's not I and my part. I was, when it says I was made, it says literally I was caused to come to be. In that sense, he was made to come to be a servant, a diakonos, one who ministered menial things according to or measured by the gift of grace. And so this is the gift. Now, when you have this up with grace, oftentimes, don't think that's the way it's used in verse 2 of the dispensation of the grace from God. Grace is the thing that is the dispense. This dispense is the rule. But down here, it's the gift that would come from grace, from God, both with ablative ideas, given unto me. And so again, he says his grace was given to him. Well, we all have the gift of no strings attached kind of gift that was given, but this was given as a no strings attached gift to Paul. And so it was, but it was to him, he says, given unto me. And it was measured by the, notice it says by the effectual working. That's all one word. We get our word energy from it. I just like to translate it at the energizing. And the up there would be from his inherent power and his dunamis, his omnipotence. And so Paul received these things. He did it by the power of God. Now that moves us on. It's interesting. You have a period there. And so this is where you had something that was given to Paul. And so that finally comes down to an independent clause as you get down to the end of that. But as you move on into verse 8, he says, unto me. And so it was given to Paul, but he says, unto me. It kind of almost shocks him that this has happened. And so there, we do have a pause here, but unto me, who am the least, or we could say, who am less than the least, should read it as it is, but unto me, who am the less of the, who am less than the least of all the saints. And so he considers himself to be the lowest of all of the saints, all of those who have been set apart in Christ. But he says he's lesser than the least of them. He says, was this grace given? And so back, the thought is that he gave it to me, Paul, the former persecutor of the church. He gave this to me. But notice what he gave to him. He says, and that I should preach among the Gentiles. When he says preach, there it is, evangelizo, the verb. But it is the verb he should preach the gospel, but that he should gospelize. And so his ministry was especially, but he went in and preached to the Jews also when he went into a town. But it was his focus and the purpose of his gift was dealing with, as an apostle, was to the Gentiles. But he dealt with the body of Christ as the steward. But he said that I should gospelize among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, the riches that come from Christ. And so when he taught these things, the unsearchable riches, these are things you couldn't trace them out. Yeah, you couldn't have like put a pattern over, lay something over, trace the pattern. You can't even trace them out. They're beyond us, the riches of Christ. But the next thing he goes on to say in verse 9, though, is And so he's to gospelize. And so that's the one thing he's to do. And the next thing he's to do is to make, it says make all men see. It's just one word there. We got our word photograph, photos, is, but it's photidzo, but it is a word we get photo from it. But to, and so really it's to bring to light. And so to bring to light, and what he's bringing to light is, what is the, it says fellowship, it's oikonomia, to bring to light the dispensation concerning the mystery. And so we come back to the mystery, the dispensation that pertains to the mystery. This mystery, dispensation, deals with the grace from God. The mystery is also the mystery in this dispensation. Moving on from the rule is grace, but then you move on to the mystery of this thing is that you have no longer just Jews, but Jew and Gentile having been created in Christ unto one new man. And so making peace. And so that is where we find that he deals with that, with this again, the mystery. But he goes on to define a mystery again, which from the beginning, from a beginning, the quality of a beginning of the ages, not world here, hath been hidden. It was in a state of having been hidden, probably by rather than in by God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. And so he created all things through Jesus Christ. Now that just reminds me as we look at this, I'm going to take a break here for a moment, go over to the book of Colossians. I really had intended to get here a little sooner, but I didn't. So I don't need to tell you that, but that's true. Okay, Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to have to just drop into verses 25 and a few verses after that. He speaks of his body's sake, which is the church, verse 24. But he says in verse 25, where I am come to be, he's been caused to come to be, and not, just like back in Ephesians 3, a servant, a diakonos, according to, measured by the standard of the dispensation from God, which is given to me. And this is, again, because of you. And so it's, but anyway, it's a, you have the reference to the dispensation. God is the source of the dispensation. He's the one who's the gives, who's the householder, and he's the one who dispenses. And so he dispensed this, gave this dispensation to Paul. He's the steward over the dispensation again. But anyway, it was for him, which is given to me because of you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations and now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And so this was a mystery, another form of the mystery, but he says the mystery here is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because Christ is in you, he imparts his life to you, eternal life. And because he imparts that life to you, you can match up to God's opinion of you in Christ. And so you can live it. You can do that. But that's because Christ is in you. And so we have back in Ephesians 3, when he speaks of this, the mystery back here, it's you in Christ, having been created in Christ Jesus. It's the new man, the body of Christ. But then Colossians, he turns it around, he flips the coin. And so it's two sides of the same coin. By regeneration, Christ is in you. And so you do have Christ in you, and it is your hope of glory. In the next verse in Colossians, he does go on, come back and touch on maturity, kind of like over here, each one mature in Christ. But anyway, stated a little differently, but anyway, that's... But we come back over to Colossians chapter, Ephesians chapter 3, and we move on. It has another purpose as we go down through the verse here. And so to bring to light what is the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages, again, hath been hidden by God who created all things through Jesus Christ, the purpose is, and this is a purpose clause, in order that, or to the intent that, but in order that now unto the principalities, these are spirit beings, the rulers and powers in the heavenlies, not the heavenly places, but in the heavenlies, out there in the heavenly realms, might be known, made known through the church, not by the church, but through the intermediate agency of the church. God is teaching using the church now as a result of the mystery of Jew and Gentile being forming one new man, and things are changed. He says that they might make known through the church. He might make known the manifold wisdom of God, that it might be made known. But the manifold wisdom of God, God's wisdom is seen through his, when you look at it through the church. And so when the church, think spirit beings can see a difference, well, they know something's different. And so carnal Christians may not be manifesting a lot, but yet it's through the church that God's purpose is that to these spirit beings, variegated many different manifestations of his wisdom might be seen. And so that's, again, the wisdom of God, but it's according to the eternal purpose. It's not the word eternal here, but it is the plural ages. And so that according to the standard, we could say with the katav at the beginning, according to the purpose, and take it as an ablative of separation, when you come to age, eternal, it's the ages. And so it's specific. It has an article according to the purpose of the ages. Now that takes you back into the decree, which he made. They translated the verb for make to be purposed here, but it is which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so he has a purpose, and he did make the ages, but it went back into the decree, back into eternity past before all of these things came to be. And so, but it was his purpose. And so that he will teach spirit beings who were created before man came and the universe and man came into existence. It will be teaching them some things about God's wisdom as they will be able to observe these things as they do. And then he continues on, in whom, that is in Christ Jesus, our physician, we have boldness. And so we have boldness. We have boldness of speech. We have direct access. You can go to Hebrews 4:16, we have direct access, and that we have boldness of speech and access, he says. Again, there's some references, a good study to deal with access. So we do have access through the blood of Christ, but he says access with confidence. And so, but it's through the faith concerning him. Wherefore, and so Paul now comes down to wrap up this section dealing with the thought going back into the new creation, going back to the Christ and the dispensation of grace, the grace from God, that where this all takes place and where it all fits in. He takes you back to, comes back to what he wishes for them. It's not a word wish here. It says I desire, but he says, wherefore, he says, I am asking. And so when he says, I desire, I tell us to ask us a lesser to a greater. And so wherefore, I am asking that you faint not. You don't lose heart at my tribulation, my pressure. So Paul started this off with, he was a prisoner belonging to Jesus Christ. And so he's a prisoner. So there's some pressure there. But he says he doesn't want them to faint, to lose heart, because he's in prison and he's under pressure. And this pressure is, it's for you. It's in behalf of you who perish for your benefit. And he's there in their place. They're not there, but he is suffering for the cause of Christ, but he's doing it for them, in behalf of them. He does make up for the sufferings of the Christ where they are not able to do so. He told the Colossians just before where we were over there. But anyway, he says, which is your glory. And so it's for their glory that they can manifest, they can live up to what God's opinion is. And they can bring glory to God, but it's for your glory, that your glory is not just to make for you, but when you glory, it's an opinion. So it's for your glory, but it's the opinion that God has of you, I would say. It's not just so for us, to promote us, but it's for your glory that you can glorify God. And so that's when he comes back. On account of this, I bow my knees unto the Father. So he comes back where he left off. Well, anyway, you can see that though that this Paul was given a dispensation, and the dispensation was the dispensation of the grace from God related to where you have the mystery, and it's mystery, but the mystery also is that Jew and Gentile were now one new man in Christ, having been created one new man in Christ. And as you go through this, the Gentiles, they share with all in the body of Christ. And so there's co-heirs, co-body, co-partakers of the promise. We have all of these things, but it was passed on through Christ and through Paul, who was the least in the body of Christ in his mind. He was less than the least, because of his past. But yet he's going through these things. He's ministering the gospel as the dispensation was given to him, and he shared the gospel out there amongst the Gentiles, and God is the one who causes the light to shine on these things. So anyway, Paul's been faithful as a steward, and he is carrying out everything according to God's purpose, and that's what is taking place. And so we just see some things dealing with this. We are the recipients, though. We are under the rule. We're the household of the dispensation of the grace from God, and the one rule is grace. And so we can be pleasing to God in a way they couldn't in previous dispensations, and so we can be thankful for that. Father, we're thankful again for your word. We're thankful again that you have seen fit by your grace to let us be involved in this dispensation, to have been born now and to be those, not because of anything good about us, but by your grace. You've allowed us to live by this one rule, that we do live by grace, and that we can, by the Holy Spirit, when we are spirit-filled, we can live lives that are pleasing to you and not live as we were in our old nature. And so we're thankful again that when this happens, you're the one that truly gets the glory, and we're thankful for that. Again, we're just thankful for these things in your word. Amen.